In the trees, you see a big and took like jaws. And... Now, could I speak to your cheater? You're Ozzy.
What do you want him for?
It's about the Black Hand I'm meeting in your shed tonight. I want to know what time I have to come round.
If I catch you in this shed again, you won't come round till you've had a dose of smelling salts.
Oh, very funny. I'll tell that one to your Ozzy when I come round for the meeting.
Look, you're not having your meetings in my shed. I'm just clearing it out before the wife's mother comes.
But she can't live in this shed. She'll get woodworm.
It's for storage of old furniture of hers.
But it's the Black Hand Gang headquarters. Your Ozzy fixed it when we made him captain.
I know, but you've been coming here every week for the past 3 months. And our Ozzy's only lasted a week as captain before you flung him out.
Well, he was useless. When we sent him to fight the captain of the Broad Street Gang, he ran for his life, the coward.
Now, don't you go calling my lad a coward. Just because he wouldn't take on some roughneck from Broad Street.
Roughneck? The Broad Street Gang's all girls. I think he was scared she'd attack him with a knitting needle.
Look here, you're catching the gang now, aren't you?
That's right.
Well, you can just have the meetings at your house in future. That's if old Sinclair Scrooge doesn't charge you too much rent.
All right, then. You can tell your Ozzy the meeting's at our house tonight. And here's the password. I'll write it on this bit of paper. Can you read my writing?
Here, let's have a look. What's this?
It's the password in Indian. Read it out.
What does it say? Tanai Tum Tu.
No, you don't. You're too old.
Now look, Jimmy, for the last time, you're not having your gang meetings in my garden shed.
Well, couldn't we have our headquarters in my bedroom?
In your bedroom?
I know there's not much room in there, but there would be if I moved my bed into your room.
Oh, no, you don't. I've shared a bedroom with you before, and I don't intend to go through all that again.
You're not taking your pals upstairs, playing the rough games.
But, Mum, playing with the gang's a lot of fun. You know what that man said on the telly? If you don't get your fun while you're young, you grow up frustrated.
Look, stop talking like Harry Whittle and listen. We don't want to stop you playing with your pals, but not in the house. There's no room.
Wait a minute, what about the lovebird's nest?
The what?
Our front room. Where our Susan and Alfie live in the winter. Couldn't we use that? Just for tonight, anyway.
Oh, I don't know. Susan and Alfie are already in there.
I thought they were. The light's out. Mum, can I ask them if they're going out tonight?
Oh, all right then, Jimmy. But just for a change, will you try not to start any trouble with them, please?
Here we are. Front room door. Now, I'll just do my safety drill. Look right. Left, then right again. Make sure that nobody's coming. And listen at the keyhole.
Oh, Susan, this is nice. Did this you and me sitting here gazing in the game? Hey, look, Susan, there's a man in the fire.
What, Alfie?
Oh, Susan, stop. But that big piece of coal that's half burnt. He's winking at us.
I'm not surprised. The way you two carry on in there.
Why, look, have you found the flames? Look, as he winks. I love Susan. Now he's holding a fight.
Oh, yes, I can see a face now. Oh, look at him. He's got a funny little nose and big ears. He looks just like our Jimmy.
Hey?
Yes, he does, doesn't he? Although, I'd say he's a bit better looking than your Jimmy.
I'll clout him with the fender in a minute.
Now, I feel really happy in here with you, Susan. Get out without giving me a little kick while the light's out.
Well, it's better than putting a sack over his head. Excuse me, can I come in?
Oh, is that you, Nosy Parker?
Oh, who's the owner of that beautiful voice? I must switch the light on and find out.
Oh, hello, Jimmy.
Alfie, I've come to bring you some good news. If you take our Susan down to the Rialto, it's a smashing picture, the back row's nearly empty, and the flavour of the month's raspberry.
What do you keep going on about the back row for? If you're thinking what I think you're thinking, we go to the pictures for something else besides that.
I know. the chalk eyes. Only you shouldn't eat it and then keep kissing our Susan on the cheek. The last time you brought her home, she looked like one of the black and white minstrels.
Look, it's obvious you're trying to get us to go out for some reason, but we're staying right here.
But you're not getting any fresh air stuck in this stuffy room. Why don't you go for a walk in the park?
It's dark. The park will be closed.
All right, I'll give you a leg up over the railings.
Look, we're not going out. We're staying here.
Oh, heck. Look, if you both insist on staying in here, would you like to join the Black Hand Gang?
I'm not listening to any more of this nonsense, Alfie. I'm going upstairs to change into my jeans.
You mean you're not going out, then?
No.
All right, go and change into your jeans, and I hope they choke you.
Look, just because you're in a temper about something, there's no need to take it out of your Susan.
Well, it's all her fault, stopping me having me fun. She ought to get married. That's if she could find a mug daft enough to... Alfie! Why don't you marry her?
Well, me? Marry your Susan?
Why not? She likes you, doesn't she?
Oh, yes, she does. The only last night coming home from the chip shop, she said she had a soft spot for me.
Yes, it's in her head.
What was that?
Alfie, look, do you want to marry our Susan or not?
Oh, yes, Jimmy. Yeah, I'd marry her at any time.
Good. How about tomorrow night, then?
Oh, dear, Bob, I can't marry your Susan tomorrow night.
Why not? There's nothing worth watching on the telly.
No. Don't talk, Jack. Your Susan doesn't want to get married just yet. I mean, she's still only young, so she ought to enjoy herself and have all the fun she can get, because it could be different after she marries me.
You mean it won't be funny?
Yeah. No. No, after she's married, she'll want to settle down.
Well, why wait? What our Susan wants is a husband and a nice home. You could have a cottage in the country and keep pigs.
Oh, don't talk, silly. Yeah, I don't want that.
Oh, of course you're right. With her cooking, you'd never be sure which was your dinner and which was the pig's.
Look, you can't fool me. You want Susan out of the house so you can use her room for your gang, and you can forget all about her living in a cottage with some pigs. She's quite happy here with you and your granddad.
You're not going to ask her, then?
No, I'm not. And I'm not taking her out tonight, either.
All right, then. I'll just have to get on the phone and cancel the meeting. But it'll serve you right if our Susan marries somebody else.
Yeah, over. There's nobody else she's interested in.
Oh, no. There's a man she travels with every morning when she goes to work on the bus. She sees him every day.
What? She's never told me about him. Does she talk to him?
Oh, yes. When she sees him on the bus, her face breaks into a smile. She looks up at him and she says...
Well, go on. What does she say?
One single to town hall, please.
Jimmy Clitter, will you stop messing about and tell your Susan I'm here?
But I've told you, Alfie, she's not in.
She must be. But when I left her last night, she said to pick her up at the office at 6 o'clock tonight, and I know that's what it is now, because my watch was wrong, and Susan said I was a bit fast. My watch, not me. And I checked it with Big Ben, and it's again 20 minutes, so I'm here.
At the wrong place.
That's right. What do you mean, the wrong place?
Alfie, search back through that jigsaw puzzle that you call a brain, and think what you just said.
I said when I left Susan last night, she told me to pick her up at the office at 6 o'clock tonight, so here I am.
In our front room?
In your front... Jimmy, I'm here.
Your body's here. Goodness knows where your mind is.
Well, it should be at your Susan's office. I mean, I should. Oh, I've got it all mixed up again. Jimmy, when I get there, she'll murder me.
I'll come with you. She might need some help.
It's not funny. I bet she'll get up for me. Jimmy, I'm off. If Susan phones, you know where I'm going, don't you?
Yes, right round the bend.
Yes. Well, you tell her that. Look, I'm going to her office. Oh, I'm a right fool, I am.
He's always forgetting things, that lad. I'll bet he'd forget his name if it wasn't written inside his cap.
Is Alfie gone, Jimmy?
Yes, Grandad. You can see him through the window. He's dashing through the garden gate and straight for his motorbike. He's gone right past it, the twit. Oh, now he's come back to his bike. He's on. He's off. He's picked the bike up, and he's on again. And there he goes, tearing off to our Susan's office in the wrong blinking direction.
Eddie. Hey, what are you looking at?
It's Alfie, Mum. He's just gone to pick up our Susan at the office.
But if he's picking her up at the office, why did he call here?
Mum, if I could answer that, I'd be on the brains trust.
Hey, Jim. Look at that sports car coming down the street. Isn't it a beauty?
Let me see. Woo! What a smasher, Grandad. I bet you couldn't get that with cigarette coupons. Hey, it's stopped outside our house.
I wonder who it is.
Can't be our rich relations. We haven't any.
What? Look who's getting out of the car. Our Susan.
So it is. And there's a bloke in the car. Hey, he's kissing her hand. He must be a froggy.
We're in here, love.
Oh, hello, Mother. Has Alfie been around here?
Yes, he's gone looking for you, love.
I trust him to get the arrangements wrong again. I've been sitting in the office yet if Mr. Nightingale hadn't offered to run me home.
Oh, so his name's Nightingale, is it? I wondered why I was pecking your hand.
That'll do, Jimmy. Susan, I thought your boss, Mr. Nightingale, was a much older man.
Oh, this is his son, John. He's come up from head office in London to work here. Today's his first day.
Susan, when he lived in London, was he a street singer?
Oh, you're Mr. Nightingale?
Yes. I thought he might be the one who sang in Berkeley Square.
Very funny. Mother, I'm going to get washed for tea.
Right, love. She doesn't seem very pleased about Alfie, does she, Father?
You're right, Pat. Come to think of it, I don't think Alfie'd be very pleased if he knew Susan had a lift home with that young Mr. Nightingale.
Why not, Grandad?
Well, you know how jealous he gets.
Oh, yes, you're right. When Bert Potter from the post office gave her a lift, Alfie went mad and accused him of snogging all the way home.
But I didn't know that Bert Potter had a car.
He hasn't. He gave Susan a lift home on his crossbar.
Come in, Alfie, and sit down.
Hello, Alfie.
Yeah, hello. Where's Susan, Mrs. Weatherall?
She's not home from work yet. I think she's doing a bit of overtime.
Ah, with Looming John, I suppose.
Mr. Nightingale, you mean?
Mum, I think Alfie would like a cup of tea.
All right, I was just going to make one. Two lumps, isn't it, Alfie?
Yes, please, and a drop of arsenic.
What was that?
A drop of milk, he wants.
I know that. Won't be a minute, Alfie.
Alfie, don't let on to me, Mum, that I've told you about John Nightingale and our Susan getting engaged, will you?
But you didn't tell me they were engaged.
I've just thought of it. I thought of telling you. It's not definite yet, but if you don't propose tonight, you've had it. Before the month's out, her birdman will be whistling, "Here Comes the Bride."
Oh, what can I do? I haven't been able to speak to her for 2 days. Only past messages through you. Oh, I've never heard such a daft idea.
I think it's pretty good. It's good not to see each other in case you have a row. Anyway, you can see her tonight and propose. Have you got some chocolates?
Yes, in my pocket here. Hey, what about the boxes I brought last night and the night before?
Oh, they were very nice. They looked very nice.
Ah, here you are, Alfie. There's your tea. And a cup for you, Jim.
Thank you, Mrs. Flitterall.
And now, if you'll excuse me, Alfie, I must pop down to the corner shop before they close. Give Alfie another cup if he wants one, Jimmy.
Righto, Mum.
Yeah, thanks very much, Mrs. Flitterall, but it isn't tea I'll be drinking if Susan doesn't change her mind. Again, I mean, she changed it once with that blinking whistler. Birdman, Jackdaw, Nightingale. But she'll have to change it back again, and I'll go straight down to the Rose and Crown, and I'll have a shandy. Three shandies.
Alfie, what are you talking about?
Susan's clothes, Mum. She doesn't think she changes them often enough.
Ah, that's right. No, I don't.
Look, she'll be home in a minute, and then you can talk to her yourself. The shop will be closed soon, Mum.
Yes, yes, I must fly. Don't worry, Alfie. Whatever your tip is about, you and Susan will soon make it up, I'm sure. Give us some chocolate, like you've given Jimmy the last couple of nights.
Yeah, well, Mrs. Clitheroe. It's a good job I brought. What chocolates I gave you?
She means our Susan. She just happened to see me testing them.
Did you eat them?
Well, I did try one or two.
Well, how many did Susan have?
I couldn't say exactly.
Half of them?
No, not half.
A quarter?
not a quarter exactly.
How many?
She's giving them up for Lent.
She said she was giving up sugar in a tea.
Yes, well, we've run out of sugar, so she had to give up chocolates.
You'll have to, don't be funny.
Never mind that now. She'll be in soon, so start practicing your proposal. I wouldn't go down on your knee in those pants, though. They're too tight. Instead of popping the question, you'll be popping your shirt tail out.
Look, I don't believe you're Susan, that fella getting engaged.
Well, what about him taking her in his car, kissing her hand? What do you think that's for?
I'll ask him.
Yes, and when you do... You can't do that. He'll kill me, or he'll kill you. He's 7 feet tall and broad with it. He makes Fred Henry look like Ted Loon.
I don't care. I'm not frightened. The bigger they are, the harder I fall. I'll tell Mr. John Nightingale to keep off my worm, bird, girl. Let him flap his wings in his own back garden, or I'll clip them for him.
I wish you hadn't told me about Alfred. I have no desire to be involved.
I told you because I might need some advice.
If Alfred finds Mr. Nightingale, my advice to you is emigrate.
Alfie'll never find old Bird Brain's nest. He gets lost sometimes walking upstairs to bed. Anyway, before Susan gets back from the kitchen, if Alfie comes in and says I told him about Nightingale, shall I pretend he's gone crackers or just face up to Susan and say Alfie's lying?
You'll not do either. Remember the old saying, tell the truth and shame the devil.
That's a nice way to talk about my sister.
I was not referring to Susan, as you know very well.
Did I hear my name mentioned? I heard it was something nice, Mr. Crato.
Oh, naturally. What else?
Tell her what you said.
I don't want compliments to her face. I wouldn't like to embarrass her.
Well, I'll embarrass her. He said that...
Again, don't be so naughty.
All right, Mr. Crato, never mind. Excuse me, I'll see who's at the door.
No, I'll go. It'll be Alfie. I mean, you sit down. Have a rest, Susan.
Well, what's wrong with you? I haven't seen Alfie for 2 days.
Yes, well, he's got to get used to your face again. I mean, you being so pretty.
Mr. Craythorpe, has Jimmy had a knock on the head?
Not yet. no.
You is it, troublemaker.
Quiet. Susan's in there.
Alfie, I'm in here. Come in.
Alfie, don't let on, not a word. Susan, it's Alfie. Alfie, everything's fine. I fixed it. Your friend's again. Off to the front room and get slopping.
You fixed what?
He fixed me with old...
Not a word about her.
You are?
We don't want to hear her. No birds.
What are you doing?
Trying to stop me telling about seeing Nightingale.
Don't be daft, you don't come out in the daylight, do you, Mr. Craythorpe?
No, not really.
And he's an expert. That's it. Hold shut up while Mr. Craythorpe does his bird impressions. Whistle like a thrush. Go on.
I will not.
All right, then. Susan, Mr. Craythorpe said
but
that
Jim. very well.
That was a thrush sitting on a nettle. Now we have
Alfie, what's this about Nightingale?
John Nightingale. When Jimmy told me how you and him were courting.
What?
And then you were getting engaged. I decided to go and tell him to keep off the grass. I phoned their office and somebody gave me the address, Cardigan Road. There was no paper, so I wrote it on a pound note, got on a bus, asked for a sixpenny, but had no change, so I gave the conductor the note. He gave me a dirty looking 19 in a tanner in threepenny bits. I got off, asked the copper for pullover straight. He sent me to Cardigan Road, but I didn't know the number.
So you didn't find him?
No.
Good.
But I found his house.
How?
And I knocked at the door, and a lady answered, and I said, could she help me?
And she said, try a doctor.
You're old. I said I was looking for John Nightingale to stop him chasing after my girl and wanting to get engaged to her, and could she tell me where he lived?
Oh, did she know where he lived?
She knew all right. She did why.
Now, don't be daft, Jim. You can't run away to sea.
I could if you'd give me a lift to Liverpool. Mum and Grandad won't be home for at least an hour.
Jim, when you paint the piper, you have to face the music.
If Mum and Grandad find out what I've done, the music will be the dead march.
But you told me Susan said she wouldn't divulge it to them.
I know, she was going to tell Mickey Nightingale and let him be the stool pigeon. I thought he'd have been on to them last night.
Maybe she didn't sell him. Perhaps she was just frightening you to cure you of prefabricating.
Yes, maybe you're right. She was just teasing me. Pulling my leg. I'll pull her ponytail off when I see her. I'll bet that's Ozzy. He'll be wanting to come round here for a second tea.
Well, go and have a chin rag with the human office. I'm thinking about the other birds, Nightingale. He'll be safely home in his cage by now.
Hello, is that the walking dustbin?
My name is Nightingale.
Oh, heck. Mr. Whittle, it's him.
Did you call him, Wacker?
Yes, for help. It's a pigeon on the phone. And I don't think I'm going to like his message.
Hello? Hello, are you there?
Anil, we're whole house.
I can't hear properly. Can I speak to Mr. Sinclair, please, or Mrs. Clitheroe?
Anil, she's Hindustood. Anil's Hinderclink.
Look, I don't know whether you're being funny or you're just stupid, but I'm coming round to see them about a boy called Jimmy.
You won't buy him, they've got one.
Are you Jimmy Clitheroe? You sound cheeky enough.
Hey, I'm the butler. Wait a minute, Mr. Nightingale. My granddad and mum are going out in half an hour, so you can't see them.
Can't I? I'm there in 15 minutes.
Gordon, I mean, oh goodness.
What are you talking about, Jim?
He's coming here in 15 minutes to see mum and granddad. And they won't be back for an hour.
Well, he'll just wait for them.
Oh, no, he won't. He'll come when they're not here, see them while they're out, and be gone when they get back.
You what? You sound like Alfie. His kind of talk must be disinfected.
I'm just ringing him to come over. By the time he's listened to Alfie for 10 minutes, Nightingale will be that dizzy, he won't know whether to fly away or lay an egg.
Yeah, I don't like this, Jim.
Look, if I tell Nightingale who you are, he'll pick your Adam's apple out. Now you're looking after Mum, who's supposed to be upstairs, right?
Oh, all right.
And Mr. Whittle...
I know, I'm your granddad. But I feel a right soft Nelly in this kilt. I'm getting drafts where I've never had them before.
It'll only be for 10 minutes.
And Mr. Whittle, when a bloke wears a kilt.
All right, Alfie, now then.
No, I mean, how do you put your hands in your pocket?
That'll be Dickie Bird himself. I'll let him in. Now, don't let me down. And if you act good, I'll get you on the telly. Bill and Ben can't last forever.
Wheel it in, Jim. I'm all ready with me Scotch eccentricity.
Alfie, get in the front room and come in after Tweety Pie meets Grandad Whittle.
All right, but I won't know what to say.
That's never stopped you from talking before. Hello, come in, sir.
Thank you. I presume you're young Jimmy delinquent.
I'm glad you like a joke. Come in and meet one. Meet me granddad, I mean.
Come in, the new.
This is the gentleman, granddad.
How do you do, sir? I have a serious complaint to see you about.
Well, I'm his granddad, not the doctor. Anyway, I'm tickled pumped to see you jump. On this broad, bracket, moon-licked, racket, whacker.
I'm afraid I don't understand you, sir.
Grandad has a rare Scottish accent. He comes from the Highlands.
Oh? Where did you live in Scotland?
Scotland Road.
Look, I haven't come here to listen to stupid jokes. I want you to punish this young scallywag.
Now, keep your vest on. I don't like being referred to as stupid, or my grandson being called a scallion. So just tranquilize yourself, or I might have to feed you a mouthful of knuckles.
Don't frighten me, sir.
Watch it, Mr. Blackbird and Nightingale. I mean, Grandad will do the Highland fling on your nut.
No wonder the boy behaves as he does with a grandfather who's a buffoon.
I'm a what?
A buffoon.
He means you're a monkey.
officer.
And who are you, sir?
He's the doctor, looking after me mum. Tell us, how is she, doctor?
Oh.
Me mother, your doctor.
Oh, I don't know. She's not here. She's not with us. We're all there. Come in, I mean, she's not well.
I can't understand it. She's only had her usual 2 bottles of gin.
Does your mother drink every day, then?
Of course she drinks every day. She's me mother, not a camel.
Can't you do anything about it, Doctor?
Doctor!
Oh, my ankles! Do anything about what?
Stop his mother drinking bottles of gin.
Well, I could give her a glass. Oh, I see. Stop the gin, yes. I'll put her on whiskey. Yeah, I mean, milk. Milk and fruit. A glass of fruit and a bowl of whiskey. Milk.
Are you sure you're a doctor?
No. Yes, I am. I'm, of course.
Well, he's really a vet, but he's cheap.
Oh, I've had enough. I can see I'm wasting my time.
Are you going, Ock Eyeball? Won't you have a sup of whiskey? The old Doc and Dorothy?
I'm going.
Well, give me your coat, Father. I'll hang it up for you.
Thanks, Father. Oh, I'm tired.
Oh, heck. Quick, Mr. Nightingale. Hop out of the window. I mean, go out the back.
I will go out the way I came in.
Well, I'll hop out of the window.
Oh, I'm dying for a cup of tea. Hello, everyone. Introduce me.
I'm sorry I'm going. I've met enough people for one day.
And just what do you mean by that, sir?
Well, goodbye, sir. I'll walk down the road with you. As far as London.
Who are you?
Yes, and what are you doing here?
I'm John Nightingale, and I've just met this boy, lout of a grandfather there.
What?
I wanted to see his mother, but she's too drunk to speak to me.
How dare you talk about me like that?
You? I said his mother.
I am his mother.
Yes, and I'm his lout of a grandfather.
Well, who are these people?
I'm Harry.
Yeah, I'm Alfie.
And I'm not very well at all.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Leonard Williams as both Theodore Claythorpe and Harry Whittle, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, and Diana Day as Susan. Also appearing were Tony Melody and Brian Truman. The recorded program, written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, was produced by James Casey and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the Kid himself.
What a night. I've never seen Grandad so cross. His face was that red. When he opened his mouth, I nearly posted a letter. Still, I was cunning. I apologized to Mam, Grandad, Mr. Nightingale, Alfie. I even apologized to Susan. Then Grandad apologized to me. He took me on his knee and said, "I'm sorry, son, but this is going to hurt you." And it did. Ta-da! Thank you.